Hey, patrons. Kevin Strange here.
Jeremy Daniels.
And we're giving you a little special flavor for the month of February 2017. We did a special Patreon episode last month about the ICP and Twisted feud. And since then, Twisted has released a brand new album. So Jeremy and I are going to review said album. This is the 11th studio album from Twisted. It is called The Continuous Evolution of Life's Question Marks.
Which could even be called just straight-ass fire.
Yeah, it's a fantastic album. Jeremy and I think we both agree that this is one of their best.
Yeah.
Very good music. They haven't disappointed me since, what was the name of that? Last one they did for Psychopathic.
Was that Wicked?
No. They did the one where Seven produced all the music and it was fucking absolute fire.
I am trying to remember the last one they did for Psychopathic. I know I haven't, so there, give me a second. Darkness was theirs with Magic Ninja.
Abominations.
Abominations. There, yeah, you go.
They haven't disappointed me since Abominations. Well, what was before that? Yeah, Heartbroken and Homicidal was... Wicked was really good.
So I think that's actually the last time they... was it Heartbroken or Heartbroken and Homicidal where they had... Set by example.
Never.
That was about the only time they've
never tried to do that again.
In a while.
Before Heartbroken Homicidal was Wicked, which was solid. But it's just a little dark for me. I think we've talked about that before privately. It's not something I want to pop in to have a good day to. You know what I mean?
It's really good when you're having a real shitty day, especially. I can't even think of the song. Where they're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
All the haters.
Well, so this is The Continuous Evolution of Life's Question Marks, the 11th studio album and 28th overall album from Twisted, released through their own label, Magic Ninja Entertainment.
We got a ninja star.
All the songs were written and performed by Twisted, unless otherwise noted. All songs were recorded and engineered by Fritz the Cat Vankowski, which is interesting because for a long time, Twisted stopped working with Fritz. But I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but Fritz is the engineer they worked with at the Demo Hut when they first recorded the original version of Most Tasteless. Fritz was with them, and there's actually a throwback to Fritz's involvement with Twisted on a song from Most Tasteless, and that song title escapes my mind right now, but they called themselves, it was Monoxide and Madrox from Twisted, Blaze Your Dead Homie, and Fritz the Cat called themselves the Infamous Superstars Incorporated, or ISI. And there's actually a song where Jamie Madrox shouts out ISI in this bitch, and no one really knows, unless you're a real big geek like me, that's what they're shouting out. That they originally had a supergroup that never released any music, but they just considered their musical collective. Because see, Blaze Your Dead Homie has always done backing vocals on Twisted albums, including this one. And Fritz the Cat was always the producer, and Jamie Madrox has always written the lyrics to the Blaze albums. So together as a musical collective, they were the Infamous Superstars Incorporated. But at some point along the way, and I don't remember which album it was, they parted ways with Fritz, and they hadn't worked with him for a long time. And I'm not sure if this isn't the first time they've worked with him again in a long time. Maybe it's not. Maybe they've had him back for a while. But either way, I think one of the strengths of this album is that ISI is back working on it as a collective. Monoxide, Madrox, Blaze, and Fritz all together, because they have continuously for 20 years made great fucking music together. And this whole feud with Twisted and ICP right now over the Juggalo March and shit, it's got a lot of people trying to hate on this album like it's not any good. They are full of shit. These guys they just can't do any wrong in my book, man. These musicians are great. They did a great job on Blaze's most recent record, Casket Factory. They've been putting out all these other guys. Lex the Hexmaster, ROC, their old partner from House of Crazies.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting him out. They got a new Boondocks album coming out called The Murder. Did you see the announcement of the Boondocks tour?
No.
Boondocks tour is coming in April 4/22. April 22nd, we're getting headliner Boondocks, supporting acts Lex the Hexmaster and Blaze Your Dead Homie.
Wow.
Very, very cool. I'm very excited to see that. That lineup, and I'm excited to see what Boondocks, like, how he's going to reinvent himself under the Magic Ninja Entertainment label. I hope that he does. I hope that he, because Blaze reinvented himself. Blaze has new face paint and a new gimmick. Like, it's the same gimmick, but it's just a
wearing a suit, a three piece suit.
Yeah, he's wearing a three piece suit.
Got a three piece suit jumping around on the stage. He's got my respect. He ain't gonna be a fat guy for long.
Right,
he's wearing that shit.
So I'd like to see Boondocks do something a little different with
I'm kind of glad he didn't go to the whole turncoat dirty. You
know? Yeah, his original gimmick before.
Yeah, it's neat to know about it, but I don't know how well that'll play. Is that one of those magic stars?
Yeah, I got one of the magic stars.
See, I get shit digitally, so I don't get a...
Yeah, so Jeremy's actually checking out what's included with the hard copy CD of Life, the Continuous Evolution of Life's Question Marks is an actual cardboard ninja star that comes. You can get one of Twisted, Blaze, Boondocks, ROC, Lex the Hexmaster, G-Mo-Ski. Have I forgotten anybody? Gorilla Voltage. They got a huge roster over there at MAD now. This one is actually the almost said Psychopathic Family, the Magic Ninja Family on the back.
Yeah.
But it doesn't include everybody, does it? They obviously had these manufactured a little before they announced. Yeah, like Young Wicked, they have Young Wicked on there now. That's one of the points of contention between ICP and Twisted.
Yeah, this is 10 of 10. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty neat. I've seen these a little bit, but I went digital because it's just easier for me than, I like to listen to stuff at work and
try to
carry it.
Buy
dozen.
The CD, rip it, try
to. Oh, you can't do that anymore with iTunes.
Oh, really?
If you can record it to your library at home, but it won't download to your different devices.
Wow.
Assholes. I had almost every one of the, what would you call the wicked shit music.
Right.
In one shape or form. On my old iPod, but as soon as they did that update, none of it will download or update.
Well, that's terrible.
It's horrible.
So, one of the most striking things about this album right off the bat is the cover art.
Oh, yeah.
The cover art of this record. I'm handing that over to Jack. Oh, he's looking at it on his phone right now. So, a lot of people think that that Twisted is wearing prosthetics or that they photoshopped these monstrous... forms on themselves.
Well, they obviously are wearing prosthetics. I've met Jamie Madrox. He doesn't have 20 ears. I've met Monoxide Child. He does not have horns. So there are
mild prosthetics on the ears and the horns, but 99% of this is body paint.
Oh, yeah.
And they have, and let me get the name of the special effects makeup by... Kay Pike is his name. K-A-Y... P-I-K-E.
They talked about that on Ashtrays and Action Figures, their podcast, if you listen to that. I mean, that's the reason Jamie Madrox is wearing a vest, because he didn't want to have his naked flesh showing through.
He didn't want to have his saggy flesh when he was a fat man. But they look badass. I mean, these are... This guy, Kay Pike, did a fantastic job of turning these guys into what they look like. You know who they look like, don't you?
Hmm.
They look like Howie Mandel from Little Monsters.
It is a little monster-y. Yeah, it is.
Very, very cool. They did a video.
Like a psychedelic trip of Little Monsters.
Yeah. And then they used this for the cover art, but they also filmed a video wearing these prosthetics for... what is the track number 3, Kill Somebody?
Yeah.
Fantastic music video. I mean, another thing these guys are doing great is they just...
I so wish the comedy skit afterwards was included in that video, too.
Not that one, but if you look on YouTube, the cop skit.
Oh.
They did an animated version of that. So you can go to YouTube and actually watch the animated version of Monoxide being pulled over.
It would have been great to see these guys in the makeup doing the chainsaw.
Now, I hope that that is what they're going to do next. Because if they did an animated version of the cop skit, I would love to see an animated version.
I pulled you over.
Let's take 20 minutes.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that as we work our way through here. Is there anything else we need to talk about the CD? Okay, so the CD. We talked about the way the CD looks, the name of it, which album it is, all this nonsense. A bunch of other stuff nobody cares about. You want to get into the actual songs? Or do you have
I mean, I think it starts out kind of... with the controversy going on.
It's weird, isn't it?
The way it starts out, and I know this for a fact, before any of this controversy, because, you know, I have so much Twisted that anytime I go to iTunes, it wants me to pre-order anything that's coming out. None of the tracks have really changed.
Yeah.
These were the tracks that I've been seeing for months.
So these were the lyrics and the song and the song order that was put into place long before this controversy of the Juggalo March came into play. Now, real quick before we get going through the tracks, there's another thing that a lot of the detractors here have been complaining about this record. And I want to set the record straight here. There's 12 tracks on this record, and a lot of people are saying that's light. Like, they didn't release very many tracks. Like, most records from these kind of artists are 16, 17, 18 tracks. Well, let's talk about that. Track number one is not an intro track. It's a full song, long song at that. And it has there's no intro on this. So already from 12, if they actually did slap an intro track on there, it would be 13. Their skits this time around don't take up a track of their own. Normally on these records, a skit will actually be its own track. So, and there's three skits on this record. So that takes us from 13, 14, 15, 16.
And if you look at, like, even the last one through Psychopathic, Abominations, three of the tracks are intro, are not intro tracks, but are skit tracks.
Right.
I mean, I hate when it's hard to smile when you're, I forgot what it says.
Yeah.
But that is nothing but a skit track.
Yeah. So they just went a different route with the track listing and how they put this together on this one. This isn't 12 tracks in the way that normal Twisted records are tracks. This would be a 16 track record if it had an intro and these skits were all
17 track is Abomination, the last of the Psychopathic records, I think is what we figured out. It is 56 minutes long.
Right, and this is...
52 minutes long.
Yeah, so you're talking a 4-minute difference, and people are like, oh, you only gave me 12 tracks. That's not true. It's not technically true. And yeah, these records are always going to be between 52 and 60 minutes. That's what fits on a CD. You're always going to get that from a full-length release, so it's just kind of nitpicky.
I mean, nobody said anything about the original Man's Myth that's only 49 minutes.
And there's a hidden track. After track 10, we get... which is, I think, one of the most exciting things about this record is we get the verse from the Most Tasteless track, How Does It Feel? That song famously cut Madrox off mid-verse, and there's a record skip. And for years, Twisted have said that they're going to release the rest of How Does It Feel? That actually appears as a hidden track after track 10, so that makes this record... technically 17 tracks.
Yeah. Minute-wise is what everybody should look at. I don't give a fuck if you have 400 tracks if you're still 52 minutes long.
Those really crappy punk rock records where every song is like 48 seconds and there's like 30 fucking... And I've seen punk rock records where there's 40 tracks and the fucking runtime is still only 35 minutes. Get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about how long you're listening to it. I listen to music at least 40 hours a week at work.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many tracks.
I mean, exactly.
It just matters how much time I can fill up.
Exactly. So let's get into it here.
Awesome.
Starting with track one. I think we're going to play you guys. I think we can legally play you guys a little bit of each track just to give you a little flavor. And then we will comment on the track, whether we liked it or not, what we like about it. So let's get going.
All right. The first one's Barely Surviving, Ride or Die. This is the one I think that's...
I love that. It just sounds like the accent's going, hum it up, hum it up, hum it up, hum it up. It's really good. All right, you can cut that off. All right.
So it's saying the ride or die with Juggalos. It sounds like a track you would play at the march or at something. You know,
literally, the opening lines are, can't get a job anymore because I'm a gangbanging Juggalo, according to the government. And one of the big problems that Juggalos have with Twisted right now is that they don't want to go march for free and play a free concert because they don't believe that the march is actually going to solve anything and that it's just a way to promote Insane Clown Posse without having to pay anybody to do so. And yet right there, again, this stuff was recorded way before the controversy started, way before this whole march thing was thrown at them. Can't get a job anymore because I'm a gangbanging Juggalo, according to the government. The song is called, you know, in parentheses, Ride or Die, and it really is Twisted's pledge to always be down with Juggalos.
Yeah.
And that's not a pandering thing. Some Juggalos believe that they're... Now, anytime they say Juggalo, that they're just pandering to Juggalos. Well, clearly, if they wanted to pander to Juggalos, they'd go to the march.
Yeah.
Anything they say from here on out to Juggalos is because they want to and for no other reason.
Yeah.
To show respect to the Juggalo culture and for no other reason. So let's get that out of our heads. As far as the track, man, like I said, Monoxide just tearing it up right at the beginning there. This is one of my favorite tracks on the record. And privately, you and I talked about this. I said that this could easily pass for a closing track.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's a track like this that closes out a Twisted record, and they kind of switched it up a little bit and started and ended this record with this kind of singy, slow, long song. And it really gives this record weight at the beginning and the end. It's got a heavy anchor at the beginning and a heavy anchor at the end.
I find it to be like a carnival ride. You know, it goes up and down, and gets you. It's like this song is the clicking of the track as you're going up to the top of the hill. You know, it's a good, solid song, but it's a little sing-songy, you know, a little lighter than what, you know, some of the other tracks are, but I was thoroughly impressed. I don't normally listen to music the way the artist wants. I shuffle through it. And I shuffled through it, and I thought it was a solid album, and I did that for a good week, and then finally decided, hey, I'm going to listen to it how they presented it, and was like listening to a new album. It was literally just the presentation of how they throw these tracks at you. Was an experience just in itself.
Yeah. So let's jump into track number two.
Track number two, Are You Insane Like Me?
So this already has like a Linkin Park kind of a metal feel to it. Cut that off. So when this album was announced, see, they have Twisted has an album in their catalog called Mutant. They released a double album called Man's Myth, which is volume 1, and Mutant, which is volume 2. Man's Myth is a rap album, and Mutant was a metal album that was very poorly received by the Juggalo audience.
I don't know how Stardust is on that. There's so many good songs.
This album was announced as their attempt to sort of right the wrongs of Mutant. And a lot of people, myself included, were like, are you going to do a whole other metal album? Because you've already done that. And it turns out that, probably 4, maybe even 5 of these tracks are more metal than they are rap. But they are so well balanced with the other types of songs, like what we just listened to with Barely Surviving. That I don't think that happened at all. I don't think you can classify this as a Twisted doing a metal record, even though this song is very hard-hitting and utilizes... I'm going to find his name here, make sure. I think it's Davey Havoc. Live drums by Draven Davison is their live drummer. And have you seen Twisted live since they incorporated the live drummer?
No, man, I've seen them since they should
have.
But
their show is so good now. They have these... they have an LCD black backdrop with all kinds of cool colors.
I was at that show. I just didn't notice the live drummer.
Yeah, and they have this guy, Draven Davison, is now live drumming for Twisted at the shows, and it really gives them a much fuller, mature type of show than just two guys walking back and forth on stage rapping. And so what this track, Are You Insane Like Me, is one of these tracks that really incorporates that live drumming. And I think that a lot of these tracks from this album specifically show a new direction that Twisted is going to take permanently, where this live drumming has a place on their records because they plan on having this live drummer permanently. And so this is sort of a new, an evolution of the sound of Twisted by adding this guy to it.
Or
and
an
this,
evolution.
Yeah, or an evolution, as the... as the album title suggests. So, yeah, I think this is a good track. Not my favorite. I will say that Barely Surviving is in my top five. The first track, Barely Surviving, Ride or Die, in my top five. I won't put Are You Insane Like Me in my top five, but it's still good.
Did you no.
The next one is my favorite. Well, in my top five.
Yeah, I would say the next one's in my top five. Kill Somebody.
All right, we can cut that off. So, right away, pounding beat on this just makes you want to bash your head off the fucking table. It makes you want to headbang so hard. And then that hook, man, the hook for their fucking chorus is so catchy.
Yeah.
I find myself walking around saying that out loud, and people must look at me like I am fucking absolutely out of my mind. Such a good... horror anthem, what Twisted is known for. This is, I would put Kill Somebody, if I was going to make a compilation record of, like, if I wanted to make, like, a primer of Twisted songs to get people into the band, because they've got 12 studio albums now.
Yeah.
So if I was going to put together, like, a 10-song or a 12-song primer of these are indicative of what Twisted sounds like, I would put Kill Somebody in that group of songs, and this is probably my second or third favorite song on the record. It's so strong.
Yeah, it gets in my top five, definitely, from this album. But I guess it's just because I had it so much longer, and it was one of the first songs available.
Yeah, it was one of the singles that they put out on YouTube.
But, you know, so I wouldn't say they're like top three, but definitely top five of this album.
And after the song, we get this hilarious fucking skit where Blaze, Madrox, and Monoxide are trying to cut up a body. And Madrox has been given the task of actually running the chainsaw. Can't figure out how to get it to work. And Monoxide is like yelling commands into his ear, trying to get him to cut this body.
What's the extension of the from the last album? The whole stab him.
Definitely.
Turn him around.
Yeah, it's very funny. It encompasses the type of black humor that this genre of music is known for. It's why we're drawn to it. It's weird, sick, dark senses of humor. This is exactly what that represents for us. This skit, and I've probably listened to this skit 50 times now, and I still laugh out loud because there's this moment where the chainsaws are going, rah, 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 they're all yelling and shouting and everything, and then the chainsaw kind of slowly go do 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 do. And Monoxide just goes, "The fuck! You're not even hitting him!" It's just so well timed. The comedy is so well timed on the skit that it's a highlight. And I never skip through it. I play it through every time, which is I always skip skits, and I never skip this skit because it's really funny. So,
no. So track four, Dead and Gone. Stop. From the dark side of the night.
Yeah, so there you go.
straight fire.
Right, right from the get-go.
The first time I heard that song. I think it was actually the first one when I shuffled when I first got the album. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's a ripper for sure. And it again shows that evolution of Twisted Sound. You know, back in the Green Book era, circa 2002, 2003.
One of my personal favorite albums.
They had Tech N9ne on track, and it's kind of what launched Tech N9ne into the Juggalo world. He later on went on to do the Wicked Wonka tour with...
When I first heard that song on the Green Book, I thought my CD was skipping.
Yeah.
I was mad. I just bought a CD, and then Tech N9ne just so fast. You're just like, yeah. is he saying the words, or is this skipping?
And I remember at that next gathering of the Juggalos, there was a question during Twisted Seminar, where the question and answer seminar, someone from the crowd asked, when are you guys going to start chopping it up like that? When can we expect to hear some chopper songs from Twisted? And Monoxide, like, offhandedly made the joke, like, oh, we're too lazy. You know how much you have to write? Like, you rap so fast that you... He's like, you have to write, like, a whole page for a verse. He's like, we're much too lazy for that. And I think that question stuck with him, honestly. I think that he remembered that. And he sort of, over the years, realized that fans really wanted them to showcase their rapping talent on a higher level, like take it up a notch, because a lot of old school horrorcore wicked shit rap doesn't utilize it's all about the storytelling,
right?
It's all about telling a horror story and a comedy weird black humor story to the fans, and it has nothing to do with rapping ability. But after the Tech N9ne era and the Strange Music era began, and Tech N9ne literally swept through the Juggalo world and made everyone a fan of his work because of how much effort and time he put into the talent of chopping, of rapping as fast as you can, and
well, especially on the collabos. I mean,
maintaining your flows and maintaining a high level of understandability, you know, a cleanness to the... You can't just go blah, 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 and expect people to accept
it. Well, whole point is it's supposed to sound like that the first time you listen to it, but the fourth and fifth time, you're still picking out things that you didn't realize that were chopped in there.
And about the time of Abominations, Monoxide specifically really started to chop. He really started to become a high-level MC on the microphone. And I think I will say that it took... While Madrox is a brilliant MC and has always been able to sing on the hooks, and he's always been the chorus guy, and he's also the idea guy. He comes up with the... Madrox comes up with the concepts of the records. He also is the lyricist. He writes lyrics for Blaze, as I said before. Mm-hmm. But he's never been a high-level MC, in my opinion. He's always, like... He's always been a mainstay. You have to have him. Like on Riders and Lotus Records, when it's ICP, Twisted, and Blaze, the best songs have Madrox hooks, where he's singing the chorus. And those were his strengths. His strength wasn't ever necessarily in complex raps. But I will say that by the time this record came out, I think Madrox has finally caught up. Because Monoxide just blew past everybody.
Yeah.
Monoxide is one of the best MCs in horrorcore music, period. And I think that this song, Dead and Gone, really showcases how far Madrox has pushed himself to catch up with Monoxide. And I think that they are on an equal level at this point. And I think Monoxide has gotten a lot better doing his own hooks. Because Monoxide sings a lot of the hooks on these songs on this record, and it's a really good balance. I think he kind of took off. Monoxide blasted off for a while for a few records and was really running circles around Madrox. Just listen to the last Dark Lotus CD.
Oh yeah,
for an example of how far Monoxide blew every one of those MCs away. That record's called The Blood, the Earth, the Mud, the Water, or something like that. The Air, the Blood, the
Earth, Water, Air
and blood.
Yeah.
Monoxide just rips everybody up. Just absolutely
demolishes. Oh, this verse is fucking awesome.
Absolutely demolishes. You're just
blown away. I mean,
so that's all I needed to add here. And now this next track is my favorite track on the album.
Oh, number five, Black Clouds.
Yeah, this is my number one favorite track.
I know. I mean,
man, you just don't want to stop it, man. And that's a Monoxide hook right there. And Monoxide never was good at singing hooks, mm-hmm. never. And listen to how good he's gotten at what Jamie's strength is. So Jamie's catching up to Madrox's strength, or I'm sorry, Jamie's catching up to Monoxide's strength, and Monoxide is catching up to. I mean,
they're getting so balanced.
People are dismissing this record because they don't like that Twisted isn't doing the march. They're doing themselves a disservice because these guys and we're talking 20 years into their career, 20 years, and they are filling all the holes in their game. Any area they were lacking.
Compliment each other. Now that's. They have both of their abilities together, and it's just amazing.
Where does this song fall for you on the record?
Oh, it's one of the top three. I mean, it's one that never gets skipped, even when I'm just on a day where I just want to listen to random songs in my thousands of song playlist. And if not in the mood, I even skip a lot of the songs I like. Just because I'm not in the mood for it, but then Black Clouds would never get skipped. So
there's a lot of songs like Black Clouds in Twisted's catalog. They kind of one of the things that they do is they can do these slow songs where they get real deep and they get real heavy with the lyrical content. And that's one of the things that Juggalos have kind of leaned on them for over the years is when you are at the bleakest moments as a Juggalo, the bleakest moments in your life, Twisted has songs that can pull you back from the edge.
Come on, like your love don't live here anymore. That touches you at a point and can help you at the bad times, but it's not a song. Like, usually those songs, like, especially, like, even not in this genre, but, I listen to a lot of different genres. And there's, like, Otis Redding. There's nothing worse when you're having a shitty day. There's nothing worse when the girls broke your heart. Or nothing better. Then listen to Otis, right? When you get to a happy day, there's nothing that's going to fuck your day up worse than listen to Otis because it just brings it. Now this, I mean, with their songs like Love Don't Live Here Anymore and Black Clouds, it doesn't matter. It'll help you when you're in a bad day and it'll remind you why you're having such a good day and not bring you down. It's just crazy.
Very, very strong. And again, I think that a lot of people look past the lyrical ability of Jamie Madrox to really write these songs that touch us in a way that is in a profound way, in a almost, I would say, spiritual way, in a way that even in St. Clown Posse's songs, by and large, don't. They used to, man. There's some ICP songs from that, like Crystal Balls, and there's a lot of tracks from the old Behind the Paint. They used to have real good songs like that, but in later years, ICP.
But you go two or three albums without getting one of those songs.
Yeah, exactly.
Lately with Twisted, there's at least two.
So if Barely Surviving Ride or Die could have been a closing track, Black Clouds could have been a closing track.
Yeah.
And we're only on song 55 in this record, and we have two tracks that are strong enough to be the closing track because they always leave that heavy, deep, emotional song for the last song on the record. And we already have two. We're only five songs in, so let's move on.
Number six is I Got These Feelings. Get jiggy with it.
Yes, this is a nice dancey song. This is, I wouldn't say this is indicative of Twisted sound. This is, but they've had songs like this before.
Yeah, it's kind of upbeat. And,
real nice. Again, head bobbing beat to it, and they rip up the flow and the vocals all across this this beat. They hit it from every angle they can. Very solid, nice hook on it. Not one of the most memorable tracks for me. It's in my bottom. It's in my bottom half of the record, but not bad at all.
I would agree the same way, but it's also one of those songs that I think I just listen to anyway. It's not one of my favorites from it, but if it came through, even in a big open playlist, I wouldn't skip it because it's
Let's do track seven.
Track seven's Nothing to You. Tell me we're not the same. Tell me we're not the same. Now I'm dreaming where you fall and say.
So that's another one of the metal tracks from the record, and you can really hear those live drums.
Yeah,
those live drums really come through, and you can tell that's, you know, they recorded this song as one of these metal anthems they can do live to kind of evolve and grow their type of their live show experience. Not one of my favorite tracks.
Not one of my favorite. Actually,
sounds like generic 90s nu metal.
It sounds like a song they had before. It's real close. I can't think of which song it is. I haven't been able to find it, but I was like, is this like a part two to this song?
Was it off Mutant?
No, I'm not sure. It may have been. I don't know. I can't think of what song it sounds like, but it sounded like another song, and I was like, you know, I was getting spoiled at this point.
Yeah.
You're just getting all these good songs. And then the skit at the back end.
Oh, but the skit at the back end was great. And as we mentioned earlier, you can actually watch this on Twisted's official YouTube channel. You can actually watch the animated version of this, and it is just hilarious. Jamie Madrox is playing this redneck cop who walks up on Monoxide smoking weed in his car, and it is fucking hilarious. Look, man. Passenger, hands forward, I'm by myself, driver. You can smell it.
I'm like underwhelmed, I think is what it was. Getting spoiled at this point. I guess I think this was actually one of the last songs when I was shuffling through. And just underwhelmed compared to all the rest of the album. I mean,
yeah.
So I'd say it's probably my least favorite on this album. But then that skit totally redeems it.
Just makes you laugh your fucking ass off. Put your goddamn hands in
the glove room.
All right, and then, of course, the reason that they do a weed skit before at the end of this track is because the next, very next track...
is Come On, Let's Get High.
No, this is badass, man. They always have, Twisted always has a weed track.
Yeah.
On every one of their records.
One of the reasons I'm such a big fan.
And, yeah, they actually have, don't they have like a 420?
They actually have just weed songs, yeah. I don't think it was a 420 thing. I think it was just like a tour, full album, all the weed songs.
It was just their weed songs. That's how many they have. They have enough to make a whole compilation album.
Good weed songs. I mean, this is a good song. I love how it flows. It sounds
70s. I didn't think that they would ever be able to outdo that weed song they have on Green Book with, they actually got one of the members of, they got Busy Bone, right?
Yeah.
From Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Hydro.
And to me, that was the pinnacle of Twisted's weed songs. I think
Off the Chain is my pinnacle.
Is it? Well, then you also have Bag. What is it called?
The Bags. Bags.
Yeah, Bags is like, that's like the anthem. That was like the, if you smoked weed and you were a juggalo back in the early 2000s, that was your fucking anthem, because that's a hard-hitting, smashing, fast-paced track.
See, like I said, you know, I got a bunch of different favorites, but the ultimate one to me has to still be Off the Chain. How Girls Look Hotter When.
Yeah. I really like this one, though. I feel like, again, the just pushing that vocal ability to make a Bone Thugs-esque song, but it's only Jamie and Paul.
I saw more of the, when Snoop Dogg or like any of the major mainstream rappers do those 70s, even Dre did it, those 70s flows where the music sounds like the music from the hook, the 60s and 70s. It's always a nice, relaxed, chill song. I mean, they're not generally always my favorite, but, I mean, this hits it. I mean, this is up there even with, you know, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre's, you know,
'70s. I've seen this track compared to a Cottonmouth Kings song. The difference being, Cottonmouth Kings, every fucking song is about weed, and they've got like 20 albums. So what fucking song? Like to throw this under the Cottonmouth Kings banner, it's like, yeah, that's easy. Yeah. That's easy. You get a little more specific.
Not one of their punk songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, this is great though. Definitely, this is in my top five.
Oh yeah,
on this track,
it's good.
Do I have five in my top five?
Well, you probably got 10.
I think I'm gonna have 10. I'm gonna have 10 songs in my top five by the time we're done.
Yeah. All right, the next one is 1,000 hells to find my heaven.
This is what I'm talking about with Jamie chopping.
This song, I am so glad that I buy shit digitally and don't listen to it in order at first. This song would have pissed me off because it was track 9. And I'd be like, what the fuck's this album already over? Because it's another one of those songs that could have been,
easily have been the ending track. And it displays Madrox's vocal abilities, his flow, how much... I mean, if you go back and listen to Abominations is great. But Madrox is really struggling to keep up with the pace that that Monoxide is setting. Here, Madrox effortlessly sets that pace. And he nails it. The flow is perfect to go along with the beat. Because there's a lot of fast rappers in the world. There's a lot of guys that go, but to actually hit that beat and stay on flow and hit that chop is a skill. You have to learn that skill. And I think that Madrox...
It's not just rapping fast. The guys that are great choppers. Anybody can just rap fast. They can move their mouth that fast. It's setting up the whole chop. A chopper is like a helicopter.
Yep.
Or like a motorcycle.
Yep.
And to get that and say 50 different words and still keep that and sound like you're purring.
It's a skill, man. And Madrox has now mastered that. And I'm so delighted to be able to say that because for the last few albums, as much as I've loved them, I've always been like, Monoxide is really the more skilled MC at this point. Now it's like, fuck yeah, way to go. And Jamie, he had to work really hard to get there. And he's had to practice a lot to get there. And he's there now, man. And I think, strangely, I think that he actually... Did you listen to that Goof album they released at The Gathering last year?
No.
That they released an album... what was it called? Where it was one of those... it was one of those Goof albums. It was like a trap music. It was called Trapped.
I heard a little bit of that.
So it was all just a...
I checked out the previews because they actually release it on iTunes.
And I actually think that Madrox developed this ability to chop by emulating the trap style music where it's just... And then he brought that over to this record and was able to infuse it into horrorcore and really step up his game. But I think that's when I first started. I was like, this trapped EP is goofy as all fuck, but Madrox's flow is
trap really music. I'm not a fan of it because it sounds like the guys that couldn't chop that tried to chop and they couldn't chop, so they turned up the music a little louder and mumbled.
Exactly. So let's get into the next track.
That's Why They Hate Us More Than, and I don't have the rest.
More Than You'll Ever Know.
More Than
You'll That's Why They Hate Us More Than You'll Ever Know. Yeah, they're not fucking around anymore, man.
That was as long as the preamble of the Constitution in 30 seconds. There was that many words. It's just...
And again, that's Madrox just chopping away. And I like the verses on this song. That chorus, though, it's a little weak for me. And I put this in the bottom half of the songs.
I totally agree with that.
But at the end of track 10, that's where we get the hidden track. That's where we get the extension of... Can you jump ahead to that?
What'd you say, the last 30 seconds?
No, it's about 3 minutes, actually. How long is your track there?
5 minutes.
Go to about 3.5.
3.5.
A little bit further. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So when you hear that, that's like a classic Most Tasteless song. Oh, you're like, oh, shit, son. How does it feel?
Yeah.
So this is the last verse from the Most Tasteless version. And it gets to the part where the record skips and the song ends on the original version of it, and you hear the record skip, but Madrox doesn't stop. He raps right through it, we get another chorus, and then a brand new Monoxide verse after that, and then it cuts off the Monoxide verse. So it's still not done.
To continue.
It's still not done. That's awesome. To me, that's one of the highlights of this record, is to get How Does It Feel extended after 20 years.
Yeah.
That's a great treat for a
which long, I'll admit, time until we started talking about actually doing this, I've skipped that song before. I only heard that yesterday at work. Wow. I was like, wow. What? Oh, no way. It's that. No way. No way.
Yeah, so, it's a little hidden track.
Which is weird that it's track 10. Next one, Psychomania. This is pretty much the Magic Ninja, you know.
Dark Lotus,
yeah. I guess it would be like Dark Samurai or something.
They said they're going to name it eventually. They're going to have a super group. I don't know who's all going to be in it, but you know it's going to be Twisted and Blaze and ROC and Lex. And I mean, they've just got... That's, well, let's go ahead and play the clip. Your insanity is beautifully complete. What are you doing here? You have no right to. Where's the other one now? Mr. Head. That's G Muskie. He's a bad little motherfucker now.
Yeah, I was a hater of Lex the Hex. It just doesn't impress me. I wouldn't call it hate. But even when we went to that Halloween show and G Muskie, I mean, you just can't help but like him. Yeah. Little dude. And
he's a bad little motherfucker. And this, again, this is maybe the fourth or fifth song that could have ended the album. This is a very slow, driving, very evil track. It's got Boondocks on it. It's got Lex. It's got ROC. It's got Twisted and Blaze. And am I missing somebody?
Not that I got.
G-Moski, Lex the Hex Master.
Blaze, you're dead, homie.
I mean, that is a roster. That is, I mean, Magic Ninja. ROC, yeah. To me right now, out of all of the horrorcore or indie rap record labels, underground labels, indie labels, they've got the fucking most talent, man. They just snuck past Strange Music with the best talent.
Well, Strange Music's hampered. Every time they get, like, you know, Snuck, Brem, Scatterman, they fuck up. They get, you know... I mean, I still think we're waiting for that album, right?
Yeah, we're still waiting on that.
That's why they're still making money off the Backstreet.
So this is
they're the most prolific as... Content-wise, of the independents, with this most solid line. I mean, there's nobody. I will admit, you know, I know this is probably mixing or crossing the streams now. That Light guy,
I heard a little clip
of him on, you know, I think it was Instagram or something like that. You know, just threw up, and it doesn't sound bad. I mean,
it doesn't sound psychopathic to me though. No, they got themselves a little white boy chopper, and that's cool, but.
You know, they got themselves their own Riz.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fine, but that's not what Psychopathic has traditionally been. So it's kind of like, well, where does he fit? Is he gonna, you know, is he gonna do tracks with ICP where he talks about killing people and all that stuff, or is that his gimmick? Like, what? It's just gonna be hard to see where Light falls. But let's keep that to another discussion.
I hated to mention it, but I'm just comparing. You know, their lineup. They got the most solid lineup
for sure, man. Magic Ninja is, they call this the Year of the Sword for a reason, man. This is a badass lineup, and I can't wait.
Because I just compared to the only ones that even have a lineup that's close to that solid is Strange Music, and a lot of their big artists are missing. Cess Crew's still there, though. I mean, but when's the last time I heard about Mayday?
Yeah, Mayday, I think they're supposed to have a record coming out this year.
Yeah, I mean, you just don't hear from them. Yeah. They don't go to the tours or anything like that. Yeah, they're not on the tours and stuff. And, you know... Prozac, one of my, you know, personal favorites from there, is gone missing. I don't know.
He just announced with King Gordy that they might do a project together. So that would be
bring him in on project. That
yeah, I think that's the idea.
That would be awesome.
I think that's the idea. So if it's Mikey Clark producing King Gordy and Prozac, that'll be a monster.
Because that the track he is on Project Dead Man, I think it's Access Denied, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But God only knows what's wrong with that dude because he's way too talented for nobody to touch him as long as they've touched him.
Yeah.
All right, last track.
Yeah.
Long Road Home. For fair use,
yeah,
because that is my favorite song, hands down.
Was what I was going to say was on an album that could have five other tracks as their final song, they come with a monster for their final track, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going through the same issues that I go through, but fucking just that first verse. I mean, you know, you're just seeking salvation, that all they offer is medication. I mean. Jesus. I mean, it just right off the bat blew me out of the water, and I was like, what is this?
Yeah, another thing to point out here about the whole album, since we were only able to listen to 30 seconds of the beginning of the album, the beginning of each song, we didn't get a real chance to highlight a lot of what makes the choruses and hooks on this record so good. A lot of what, when criticizing some of the lesser quality Psychopathic albums, it's that they just have this like really brain dead, repetitive chorus that doesn't really have a lot of oomph put into it. These guys,
it's either hit or miss with them. Either you hate the chorus and the hook,
or it's the best thing
you've ever heard. Or it's, you know, something that sticks. Then you'll skip through three or four songs to hear that chorus or that hook. This you can't. You don't need to. You just let it play.
Yeah, one of the things that it's necessary to highlight here is how much care they put into the choruses of these songs, because there's a lot of bridges. There's a lot of bridges from the verse, bridge, chorus, bridge, chorus, verse. And a lot of this type of music, horrorcore music, doesn't do that. They go verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, done. Mm-hmm. And there's tons on this record, especially tons of bridges that require, again, extra writing. So these guys, from all that callback way back when at that gathering seminar where they said they were lazy and didn't want to write a lot of lyrics for their songs, they have gone so far in that other direction now, where if we could look at the lyric sheets for this record compared to, say, something after Green Book like Independence Day, the length of these songs, because you've got these chopping, rapid-fire verses for a lot of these songs, not this one in particular, and then you have these bridges, and then a chorus, and then a bridge, and then another rapid-fire. Like you said, there's enough words for the preamble of the Constitution in some of these 30-second clips. These are pages and pages worth of...
Notebook full of shit.
Yeah,
the notebook other one was, full of stuff. Yeah, Independence Day probably took 20 pages.
Yeah, right. And it's just, and it's a, you know, it's so refreshing to see an artist 20 years into their career getting better and putting more care and more talent into and learning and getting better as artists. Yeah, these guys are pushing 40 and making the best music they've ever made in their careers.
Originally, these guys dressed up as Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers. And it's just like those characters in their rap career. They just keep coming at you and getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And no matter what you do to them, they just keep coming at you. You may knock them down for a second, but then they pop back up and just keep coming at you.
Let's hope there's never a twisted record where Busta Rhymes does a spinning back kick and kicks them in the face, like in Halloween 6.
Oh, yeah.
But that's about... I mean, we just did an hour-long review for for Twisted's...
longer than the music. Longer than what? RoboCop? Was it RoboCop?
Or, I think everything.
No, Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad
Max. You actually had like 3 hours of Mad Max for a two-hour movie.
An hour and a half long movie.
Hour and a half movie, double.
Or a two-hour movie. Yeah, it's a two-hour movie. So we just did an hour review for a 52-minute record. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I love listening to this record. And if you guys like this kind of stuff, we can keep doing these kind of music reviews and stuff.
Matter of fact, this is for patrons only. Go to the Facebook page, Reading to Strangers. Tell us what to do. You guys are our patrons. If you want us to review something, you know, whether we like it or whether we not, we'll give you an honest review.
You tell us what kind of content you want here for the bonus stuff for Reading to Strangers, and we will provide that for you. We thank you very much for your patronage. Your financial help allows us to keep building this thing bigger and stronger month by month, and we hope you continue to enjoy the extra flavor you get. And Jeremy, do you have anything else to add?
Nope.
All right, gang. Thank you, patrons. Remember, for Jeremy Daniels, I'm Kevin Strange. Keep listening to horror music, I guess.